I'm John Berman, sitting in for Anderson Cooper. Welcome to the 360 Podcast. Convicted of trying to kill three people, but not actually killing a fourth. Michael Dunn, Race and Justice. Let's get started.
It was a shocking crime. It started as a disagreement over loud music at a gas station and ended with 17-year-old Jordan Davis shot to death. Police say Michael Dunn fired 9 times into Davis's SUV, even as it sped away. He then drove off with his fiancée to a hotel. He never called police. To many, the death of Jordan Davis was senseless and defenseless. But the 47-year-old Dunn told a different story, claiming he simply asked for the music to be turned down. But Davis began making increasingly violent threats.
I saw a barrel come up on the window, like a single-shot shotgun.
Dunn said he fired in self-defense. No witnesses saw Davis with a gun, and no gun was found in the SUV.
We are here to commence the trial.
Many people felt the first-degree murder case against Michael Dunn seemed open and shut. For prosecutor Angela Correa, it was a chance at redemption. Just 7 months earlier, she had failed to convict George Zimmerman for killing another unarmed African-American teen, Trayvon Martin. The trial took just days, and many expected a verdict in hours. But deliberations dragged on and on. After 4 days, it was clear the jury was divided.
We, the jury, find the defendant guilty of attempted...
Dunn was found guilty on 3 counts of attempted murder, but a mistrial was declared on the charge of murder for the death of Jordan Davis. His heartbroken parents thanked the jury just the same.
We're so very happy to have just a little bit of closure.
And as protesters demanded she resign, prosecutor Angela Corey was promising a retrial. And once more, many Americans found themselves wondering about the state of Florida and whether justice was served.
I want to bring in Davis family attorney John Phillips and also Chuck Hendricks, a former neighbor of Michael Dunn's who was on the witness list but never called. John, first of all, I want to talk about your clients, Jordan Davis's parents. I'm sure that going into the verdict, you prepared them for the possibility of guilty, you prepared them for the possibility of not guilty, but we're in this strange middle ground right now. A mistrial on one count, guilty on others. How are they doing right now?
They're okay. You know, Jordan's birthday was yesterday. We had a private ceremony, and they understand what the jury's done, and we're, frankly, we can't wait to hear from the jury to see how many hung up, you know, whether it was one or whether it was two, and why they couldn't reach a decision.
Chuck, you lived next door to Michael Dunn for 8 years, and you say the man you watched on the stand was different than the man you lived next door to. How would you describe the Michael Dunn that you know?
All I can say is what you see in public is not necessarily what you get behind closed doors.
And behind closed doors, what do you get?
Well, from my perspective, egotistical and arrogant individual. He was always right and smarter than everybody else.
So when you learned that Michael Dunn had been arrested for shooting and killing Jordan Davis, were you surprised?
No, sir, I was not.
Because?
His superior than now attitude and my personal experience with him trying to convince me I was wrong when I knew I was right and how infuriated he'd get if you didn't agree with him. He could be pretty intense.
Pretty intense. So, John, do you think it might have made a difference if the jury was able to hear from Chuck, from neighbors like this, who offer a different account of Michael Dunn?
We believe so. And I addressed this in the defamation lawsuit and in some documentary filmmaking that's being done on Jordan Davis's life and got to see more of the Michael Dunn and that missing period. You know, the witnesses that testified were his father's friends or a son that he had only seen 3 times in 15 years. And we all have to ask ourselves, if we were on trial for murder, it wouldn't happen to average people, but if we were on trial for murder, wouldn't we have better friends than that? And there's that gap missing with Michael Dunn. And witnesses like Mr. Hendricks help fill that gap, and we need them to come forward and tell their sides of the story so that this family can get justice, that you can't victimize the victim by calling him a thug. And Michael Dunn is this, you know, Caucasian businessman, and that give him the benefit of the doubt.